the calendar, and so you'll get sick of me soon enough. What you heard this morning was just really, really, really good. Oh, he put this thing in my pocket. What is this thing? I hate microphones. But praise the Lord, they allow you to be heard. But I like to put it in my back. I like to put it where you ought to be able to put something Second Amendment-ish. But I know where I am. Don't get upset. I know I'm in communist New York. Don't get all upset. I just call them like I say them. Don't get mad at me. I said that yesterday. I was at Wegmans. I said that yesterday because, you know, I forgot to bring a bag. You got to have a bag when you come to communist New York. And then the lady says, we're going to charge you 5 cents for a bag. I said, my wife and I looked at each other. And I went, I ain't paying 5 cents for a paper bag. I said, I just carried all that like this, which is what we did. Kind of looked stupid. But you got to carry your bags in and carry your bags out. Oh, my goodness gracious. Man, I tell you what, we don't have to put up with this much longer. Praise the Lord. Now, I got a little sermon I want to preach. I'm going to get right to it because it's just what God laid on my heart. I haven't been able to get away from it. I had something different planned. I had something different planned. Honestly, I did. I had a real nice, comforting, kind of sweet message. And it was really going to be nice. And God said, you're not preaching that there. And I was going to preach out of Jeremiah chapter 6. And God said, nope, he's already covered that. Move on. You'll probably get embarrassed if you try to preach out of Jeremiah chapter 6. So I didn't. Acts chapter 27 is where I'd like you to turn. Acts chapter 27. And I'm entitled this message, and it's kind of got a weird title. But I've entitled the message, What to Do When You Feel or Are Out of Control. What to do when you feel like or you are out of control. Acts chapter 27, and as soon as you get there, if you stand with me, please, out of respect for the Word of God, I'm going to read a couple of verses to you, if that'd be all right. And Acts chapter 27 is just, and for many, it's a familiar passage of Scripture. I've got about 10 sermons out of just Acts chapter 27 because it's just, there's so much in there that just sparks, that grabs my attention. You know, if it grabs my attention, it might not grab yours, but I read my Bible. Listen, when you read your Bible, you ought to read your Bible to get something for you. When I was a young preacher, I always read my Bible, Brother Johnny. I always read my Bible to get something for me, for something for everybody else. Hang that trash. If I get something for me, I can give it to you. But if I don't get nothing for me, if I'm dry, you know what you're going to get? Yeah, it's going to get ugly. Amen. We're going to be like that chicken I had last night. Dry and disgusting. Don't let a 17 or 18, 19-year-old kid at Wegmans cook you chicken. They have no idea what they're doing. I choked that stuff down with 3 bottles of water. Hallelujah. Look at Acts chapter 27. We'll get to the message. I'll stop messing around. The Bible says, and when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, hallelujah, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus of a Macedonian of Thessalonica being with us. And the next day, we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over Sindus, the winds not suffering us, we sailed under Crete and over Salmone, or Salmon, I don't know how it's pronounced, and hardly passing it, came into a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto the city of Lycia. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceived that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, which is always the case, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which are spoken of by Paul. Well, you're stupid, and that's what you're going to do. He does it all the time when he reads and just stops and pauses. It's catchy. No, I like doing it. Because you can't do this most places. Am I online? Am I being recorded? You still can't do this most places. I try to be all things to all men, but I will not change what I believe for anybody. Amen. Just will not. I'm not going to change who I am for anybody either. I mean, I'm not a great Christian, but I'm trying. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Hallelujah. Sometimes folks think, well, you're just barely. Look at verse 12. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain unto Phoenice, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. That always encouraged me. Northwest, southwest. Aren't they different places? But they are. Anyway, and when the south wind blew softly, notice this, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete, but not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which, when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. We being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Notice verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. They were absolutely in a place. Not only did they feel out of control, they were out of control. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for a God that loved me enough to give me my own personal copy. And Father, I'm so thankful that you're my God. And Jesus, I sure do love you. And Holy Ghost of God, I pray you'll take control of this mind of clay and this tongue of clay and these lips of clay. And Father, help me to think and speak precisely what you have for us this morning. God, I just thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the singing. I thank you for the house of God. I thank you for a place where Christians can gather together around the truth and get something from you. Not something from me, not something from Doc Caesar, something from you. Something that you give us specifically for us. And Father, I pray to this morning that you'll help us today. I pray you'll bless us and encourage us today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can have a seat if you would. Even if you won't. I got to looking at this, and I was going to read down through verse 26, because one of my favorite verses in this whole chapter is verse 25, where Paul says, or in verse 24, he says, fear not. Paul said, fear not. God says, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, thou hast given thee all them that sail with thee. Do you understand that in this passage of Scripture, Paul went from the prisoner in verse 1 to the captain of the ship in verse 26? Amen. Can I tell you something? There's just something about being a Christian. There's something about being in the will of God. There's something about being His child that we're just better than everybody else. Now, don't look at me funny. I've got a Heavenly Father that I'm not like everybody else. We're not like everybody else. You're not supposed to be like everybody else. But that's not my sermon. Because my sermon is, I got to thinking about, what do you do when you feel like or you are out of control? Now, I'm going to flip my head and these glasses are going to flip out. because I got my rock and roll microphone ready to go. It's Justin's fault. I got to blame him. He's the one that did this. I could put my little tie clip right there, Justin. Just a thought. Anyway, can I say verse 1? Look at verse 1. Verse 1, the Bible says, and when it was determined. Do you know back in chapter 25 and verse 11? Go back to chapter 25 and look at verse 11. In chapter 25 and verse 11, the Bible says, verse 10 says, then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews, I have done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. I don't know that Paul was in the moment, and Paul was in the heat of the moment, and Paul said, bless God, I haven't done anything wrong. I'm a Roman citizen. I'm a Christian. I've not done anything wrong. I'm simply preaching the book. I have done nothing worthy of death. I'm not afraid to die for what I believe. I'm not afraid to die if I've done something wrong, but I've been accused wrongfully. I belong at Caesar. Let me go to the king. You better be careful what you ask for. Sometimes what you ask for, you may get. And can I say, that sealed his fate, because in chapter 26 and verse 30, the Bible says, and when he had thus spoken, talking about the Apostle Paul, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Why is he here? Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Paul was in the heat of the moment. I would never discount anything that God has put in the Bible. But as the story progresses and as God has given it to us, we see that Paul says, I appeal to Caesar. And God says, good, because that's where you're headed. But in the midst of that, verse 1, when we read verse 1, it says, and when it was determined that we should sail into Italy. Can I say, you and I all have a determined course. You and I all have a course that's been predetermined that God would choose us to go in. We have a course set by God. God wants us all, listen, I believe God wants us all to go to heaven. God said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's no reason for any human being to die and go to hell. Hell was not designed for man. It was designed for the devil and his angels. And the Bible says hell hath enlarged itself because of the rejection of the word of God in Jesus Christ, God's gift. Can I say, but God wants us all to go to heaven, but it's my choice. God wants us all to do right, but it's my choice. He wants us all to succeed in him, but that's my choice. God wants us all to love him fully, to follow him, to serve him, and to obey him, but it's my choice. God wants us all to choose him and to be busy for him and to pray to him and to work for him, but it's my choice. God wants us to be saved, secure, serving, and serious, and sold out to him. But it's my choice. God expects me to live holy. He wants me to be righteous. He wants me to be separated from the world with a clean testimony. But it's my choice. He wants me to be faithful to him, faithful to the Bible, faithful to church, faithful to his work, and faithful to fellow believers. But it's my choice. And see, we have a choice. And our choices will set our determined course. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. Can I tell you, whether I read my Bible, pray, witness, live right, live holy, live separated, sanctify myself, it's all my choice. It's all your choice what you do with the Word of God. It's your choice. And can I say, but sometimes in the midst of all the decision making, in the midst of your, in the midst of the course of life, sometimes you're going to feel a teeny bit out of control. Paul knew, God told Paul twice in the Bible, Paul, I'm going to take you to Rome. Paul, I'm going to take you to Rome. You're going to preach at Rome. Paul had a determined course. But along that course, I don't think Paul expected to be a prisoner. I mean, I want to go witness to the Senate. I don't want to do it in shackles. That would not be my first choice. It wasn't Paul's first choice either. But he had a predetermined course. God has something set for him. But can I tell you something? In the midst of our course of life, sometimes we go through things I didn't expect. I don't like that. I didn't think you would. I don't want to go this way. Didn't ask for your opinion. Now look, I'm preaching this to me, so just leave me alone. Why do I got to be a bad guy? I'm a prisoner. You're as free. You're freer than any of these people out here. You'll be okay. I don't feel like it. It'll be loose in a minute. Just hang on. In our little pea brain, finite mind, we've got 70, 80, 90 years as compared to eternity. Even if this is a living hell, this is as close to hell as we're ever going to get. But in the midst of all of this, sometimes you feel like I'm not in control anymore. Something's happened. I feel like when everything starts coming at you seemingly from all sides and you wonder, now what? Like, do you understand? Listen, sometimes, what do you do when you feel or you seem to be out of control or you really are? Listen, they were out of control because we read a few verses down that they were out of control. They threw the tackling of the ship away. And the Bible says they let her drive. Can I tell you something? It says when neither sun nor stars in verse 20 and many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. What's that? Completely out of your control. Completely out of control. And Paul's on this boat. And I just wrote down some things. And I wrote down something that I'm not going to use today because if we do a Bible conference in December, if we do one, I got a cool idea and I'm not going to spring it on you now. I'm going to spring it on you then. I've been studying this stuff. I mean, I get a kick out of it. But listen, I'm never going to be like Doc. I ask him what books to read. He says, just read your Bible. I said, Doc, give me an idea. Just read your Bible. I said, Doc, I'm reading my Bible. He goes, that's good. But listen, sometimes in the way, you don't have any control. Sometimes when God's got something for you to do, you have no control. That's why it says, they said, Paul, you've done nothing. They conspired. They're talking together in the last couple of verses of Acts chapter 26. And they said, listen, he's done nothing worthy of death, not even of bonds. He don't even belong here. But because he's appealed unto Caesar, that's where he's going. That's why I said, and when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. Can I say some decisions When you're out of control, understand this. Some decisions have already been made for you. Sometimes the consequences of our actions, sometimes they're the consequences of our actions. Paul is a servant of Almighty God. He's a servant of the living God, and he's taking steps. He's reading. He's praying. He's trying to be close to God, and in the midst of all of that, God says, I'm going to let you preach. I'm going to let you witness in Rome. I'm going to let you witness to the greatest power on earth. I'm going to give you their ear for a time. Paul said, good. But I don't think he planned on what he had to go through. And can I say this morning, I'm thankful for the Apostle Paul. I'm thankful for the man who wrote most of the New Testament. I'm thankful for the guy that literally was willing to take the consequences of any action that was thrown at him. Can I say, sometimes in the way, you are out of control. Paul was a prisoner. Paul, he had a determined course. The Bible says, literally, it says, and when it was determined, they had already had a, it was, there was a determination had already been made. They sent him as a prisoner. We're going to send him to Italy. May I say this? When you feel out of control, or you are out of control, sometimes in the way, understand, you don't have any control, but sometimes the way may seem busy or tedious. You ever just wonder, are we ever going to get there? I mean, is this ever going to happen? Or are we ever going to make it? Are we ever going to succeed? Are we ever going to get out of this problem? Are we ever going to make any strides forward? We're just not going anywhere. If you look at the first couple of verses of Acts chapter 27, I got a kick out of it when I got to reading it the other day because I realized how tedious it was. The Bible says, now look, it was a long trip from where they got on. I looked at it and I measured it all out and I'm Google mapping it and I'm doing all kind of weird stuff. It's about a 1,500 mile boat ride without motors. Air power in a flat, square, ugly boat. These things are not speed racers. You know, nowadays you go down to the dock. I like to go down there and see how the other half lives. You know, that half down there with them, you know, 30 or 40 foot boats, and they got 12 motors on the back of them, and these things can go like 6,000 mile an hour. And hallelujah. And you can have that. If I want to go 6,000 mile an hour, I want to go that on a motorcycle. But I go down there and look how the other half lives. I want you to understand, this is not how the other half lived. This is just a commercial boat that probably taken supplies. And they put Paul and 100 soldiers and a bunch of prisoners and the crew. There's 276 of them, according to the Bible. A lot of people on a boat. It's not a small boat. A writer said it might have been a couple of ships because of cargo ships. They kind of traveled together, but it only says, I only read in my King James Bible about one. It's just one big one, one big cargo ship with a bunch of prisoners and a bunch of soldiers. And can I say, sometimes the way may seem very tedious, because the Bible says, and when it was determined that we should sail, look at verse 2, and entering into a ship of at Arimathea, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus. Verse 3 says this, and the next day we touched the siding, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go to his friends and refresh himself. Verse 4 says, and when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, and the winds were contrary. That means in opposition, absolutely blowing the wrong direction for them to sail. And when they had sailed over Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, city Lystra. And I want you to understand, they went up and they went slow, 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 slow. Small little towns. We're going to go a couple miles and a couple miles. I mean, and the Bible says in verse 7, and when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Sidon, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete, over against Salmone, or Salmone, I don't know, and hardly passing it, came to the place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. I read this and I see I'm going here, and we're going to make it to there. And then we made it here. Just small, little, I mean, just, I looked at it on the map. It's just like, it takes this day and this day and this day. I look, I'm an evangelist. I'm a missionary and evangelist. I travel over the country. You understand traveling. When my kids were small, they'd get in the car. Are we there yet? Dude, you ain't been in the car for 10 minutes. Shut up. We got a 6-hour drive. 6 hours. We're never going to get there. And something happened. Something happens when you're an adult and you cross a certain age. Now I'm doing what my kids used to do. Because it's 5 hours to drive here. And my wife will say, we're almost there. We're never going to get there. There's traffic. Everybody's in my way. We're never going to. Why are you going so fast, honey? Because we're never going to get here. I pray. I get in the car. I say, Lord, Father, please, no cops, no tickets, no accidents, no traffic. Hallelujah. No breakdowns. But no cops and no tickets and no traffic would be a wonderful thing. Sometimes in the way, you're going to, listen, life is going to seem long and boring. Sometimes everything's going to seem so slow. Listen, I want you to understand that there's going to be ups and downs always. Listen, we're always close, but it seems like we just can't get there. That's how sometimes you feel when you're, Paul was no longer in control. He's now, instead of the, he's still God's spokesman, but I want you to understand, he's a prisoner. He's a Roman prisoner. And he's out of control. He's out of his element. This isn't normal for him. Sometimes, listen, when you're as a Christian, as you're living for God, sometimes you're going to have those times when you feel like you're not in control. Sometimes you're going to feel like, man, are we ever going to get there? Is this ever going to go away? Are we ever going to get any better? Is it ever going to matter? That's the way the child of God sometimes feels. Are we ever going to get there? Are we ever going to make it? I mean, when's a trumpet going to sound? Lord, we need a trumpet. Not yet. Sometimes the way feels very shaky. And you feel very insecure. Look at verse 9 and 10. Look at verse 9. The Bible says this, Acts 27:9. Now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. You know what Paul said? Paul said, look, I've been talking to God, and this ain't going to go well. Me and God are in communication. This ain't going to go well. I have a real bad feeling about this. This ain't going to work. Listen, you understand, they're in the middle of a 14-day fast. They're in the middle of a fasting period. They're in the middle, and it's dangerous to be on the water this time of the year. It's dangerous to be on the water. It's a bad time because the winds, hurricanes, so there's some crazy stuff that takes place. And Paul said, I perceive that I just got this real odd feeling from God, this ain't going to work. And we're going to lose a lot of stuff. And may I say, in the midst of when you feel like you're out of control, or you really are out of control, you are going to have those times where you just feel shaky, you feel insecure. Honey, I just don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know what the next step is. I don't know how to plan ahead. What do we do? You feel insecure. Sometimes life does that. Sometimes situations in life do that to us. May I say, Paul is in a situation where he's been in and out of prison a lot. Paul's used to prison. But now he's a prisoner, and he's out of control. He's out of his element. He's on a boat, and now he said, look, I don't think this is going to end well. Sometimes a preacher will come to you and say, you know, maybe you're heading the wrong direction. Maybe the direction you're headed. Can I help you a minute? I see a lot of people on life's road. And look, guilty as charged. Sometimes on life's road, I'm going like this instead of going straight ahead. And sometimes I end up over here. You know what the pastor's job is? You know what other, no, I think other Christians can help, but you know what the church's job is when the pastor comes in and the pastor, that he comes in and he sees you standing over here? His job is to go, hey, come on back over here into the light. You out there starting to get dark out there. You're going to lose your way out over there. And sometimes we feel out of control. And when you get out over here and all of a sudden it's like, remember Peter when he walked out on the water? Jesus was out there. He walks out and he's looking right at him to go to him. And he was good as long as he's looking at Jesus, walking straight ahead. As soon as he went like this, he realized, dude, I'm in a storm. And why am I doing? What am I doing in a storm? He was in a storm before, but when he set his eyes on Jesus, he was okay. But as soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus, he started to sink. Can I tell you something? Sometimes all of us take our eyes off Jesus. Is that okay to say? Sometimes all of us just we have those moments where we have those periods in our those times where we just well, I'm just going to go to, instead of being I'm on the straight and narrow, I'm trying I just let me I just go over here. I'm going to go be here a minute. And a minute turns into a day, and a day turns into a week, and a week turns into a month, and a month turns into, oh my Lord Jesus, what do I do now? I hope you've never been there, but I have. And I want to tell you, when you're out there, you're all alone. And you're in a place where they don't love you. And can I tell you something, Christian? The devil hates you. Just let me help you. The devil hates you, and if he could, he'd kill you if God let him, but praise the Lord, you're still here, so we're all still here, so praise the Lord. But let me just say this, sometimes you're going to feel shaky. When you're out of control, you're going to feel insecure. I don't know what to do. You know why marriages get in trouble? Because you get off the straight and narrow, and we get out into that stormy, prisonery, just mess, and our marriages... We start feeling it. Well, I wonder if get back where you belong. Listen, when you feel out of control, understand, insecure times, shaky feelings, or feelings of being very shaky and insecure, that they're going to happen. You'll say stuff. You'll say stupid stuff. You'll do stupid stuff when you feel shaky or you feel insecure or you feel afraid. You will. How do you know? Been there, done that. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which are spoken of by Paul. Can I say, sometimes in the midst of feeling or being out of control, sometimes others think they know better than everybody else. The Bible says the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which are spoken of by Paul. For now. Hang on, it gets better near the end of this story. But for now, in the midst of the storm, they're not even in the storm yet. But they're headed for it. And Paul could see it coming. Paul said, I perceive this ain't going to go well. I'm giving you the D. Philip Antonio paraphrase. Ain't going to go well. I know for all you English majors, ain't a word, but it is today. Hallelujah. And Paul was insecure about this whole thing. He felt very out of place, very insecure. And then in the midst of all of that, somebody saying, well, Paul, we're not going to listen to you. Preacher, we're not going to listen to you. Well, you don't know. You think you know everything? No pastor and no preacher. Well, there's a couple of them that might. But there's no real pastor, no real preacher, no real Christian that'll come to you and say, look, I know everything. If they do, you just need to run. Just need to run and scream and holler and tell him he's an idiot. You have my permission. You can call him an idiot. Listen, nobody knows everything. Nobody has a handle on this whole thing except him. I have no idea. I don't even know all the questions. I don't have all the answers. I don't even know half of the questions. And some of them I don't want to know. But listen, in the midst of this, Paul, he comes to find out that in the midst of his uneasy, unusual, out-of-control situation that's already God has determined, in the midst of that, Paul finds people that think they know better than him, think they know better than God. And the Bible says the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things were spoken of by Paul, and because the haven was not commoded. Listen, there's also going to be extenuating circumstances. What are you talking about? I wrote this down when I read verse 12. The Bible says, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete that lieth toward the southwest and northwest. Can I say, sometimes when you're out of control, sometimes the way has many inconveniences. They're in a place, and they wanted to stay there, but because the haven was not commodious to winter, and hey, you can't stay here through the winter. You're going to freeze. This is not good for your boat. Not going to be good for you. A lot of inconvenience. When you're out of control, can I tell you something? Sometimes when you feel out of control, or you are out of control, there just seems that everything seems to be, sometimes almost everything seems to be an inconvenience. Well, I can't go to church at 9:30 because I didn't go to bed till 2, and I got to get up and drive to church. It's just that church at 9:30 is just an inconvenience for Sunday school. So I'll just conveniently not go because it just inconveniences my schedule. I can't go to church at 11 o'clock because that's just inconvenient. It's Sunday. It's my only day off. It's just inconvenient. Well, I can't give them my tithes. 10%? 10%? That's just inconvenient. Well, I can't give to missions. Thank you for those who do, because I'm one of your supporting people. I can't give to missions. That'll inconvenience my bottom line. It'll be inconvenient if I can't buy that new boat. You better sell your boat and buy 3 guns and 2 boxes of ammunition to leave them for the next guy. Amen. But listen, sometimes inconvenient. Everything seems inconvenient. The pastor asked you to do something. Inconvenient. Well, pastor, let me, I like this. Let me look at my schedule. How important do you think you are? Don't get mad at me, please. Sometimes I've got this plan and this plan and this plan and this plan and this plan. Sometimes you need to chunk all that and just take a breath. I know people live by schedules, and I do too. And it dictates a lot of what I do. But listen, be careful about these inconveniences. I believe Paul was saying in his mind, this is inconvenient timing for me to be in this boat. This is an inconvenient place for me to be on this boat and a prisoner. I'm in an inconvenient situation. There's going to be an inconvenient outcome. The circumstances not going to go well. It's inconvenient the way I've been treated and my conditions. I'm a prisoner. I'm bound. I can't speak. Nobody will listen. Lord, I'm out of control. It don't seem right. It just seems inconvenient. Sometimes the way not only has many inconveniences, but sometimes the way you're in is a place that you are most certainly out of control. We read in verse 20. They threw away everything from verses 14 down through verse 20. And verse 20 says this, and when neither sun nor stars in many days had appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Can I tell you, they were without hope. They were without help. And I'm going to stop here, and that was the introduction. That was the introduction to my message. Let me just give you the quick, it kind of is. Let me just give you what God told me, what to do when you feel or are out of control. What should I do? Can I say, number one, trust that God knows about it and that he knows best. The Bible says the night following, in Acts chapter 23, the night following, the Lord stood by me and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so thou must bear witness also at Rome." He didn't tell him how he was getting there. He just told him he was going there. He said, "Look, you're going to Rome. I know all about it. I've got this covered. Just buckle in." Christians, sometimes we just got to trust the Lord. Sometimes we don't know the front from the back. You know what you do? You just trust the Lord. You trust that he knows. You trust that he's paying attention. You trust that he sees and knows. May I say that my Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, whole earth, beholding the evil and the good. He sees and knows everything. Bible says the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. He sees and hears and knows everything. Nothing has escaped him. Said, "Preacher, but I'm in a storm. I'm going to die. I'm a mess." Take a breath. God's still in control. He's still paying attention. You know what I've had to do sometimes in the midst of some of those storms that I have been caught in? I mean, some of them are just, they're overwhelming. And you get caught in those things, and you're in those, and you don't know what to do. You can't see the sun. You can't see up. You can't see out. You can't see ahead. You can't see behind. You can't see around. All you know is, this isn't going to go well. What do I do now? You know what Paul did? He just trusted the Lord. He trusted the Lord. The Bible says in verse 21, "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss.'" Now, let me put it in 21st vernacular. Hey, dummy, I told you. Should have paid attention. I'm just telling you, you should have listened. But you didn't. Now, if Paul would have been an Italian boy, Sicilian boy, he'd have said, dummy, you're getting what you deserve now. Hang on, it's probably going to get worse. Italian people, they never have anything good to say. It's always negative. Hey, it's going to get worse before it gets better. My grandmother was a killjoy, man. She could just make everything horrible. Everybody was going to die and nobody was going to live no matter what took place. Can I say trust? God knows about it and he knows best. Number two, know that he loves you without fail or wavering. But let me just say when I'm reading this, Paul says, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." I want you to understand, they're in a storm. They're bobbing up and down, and I mean, they're in a horrible storm. And I looked at the map, and they're supposed to go over here and try to make it up to Italy, and they're started down over here, and they went up and around and down, and went down over here, and now, where they were supposed to land, they're out here in about 600 miles or 400 or 500 miles of water. They're several hundred miles that way, but probably 50 to 80 on either side of them where they are. And they're in a little boat. And they don't have life jackets. They don't have a motor. They don't even have paddles. They're in trouble. And they're just literally spinning out here. They say these things are like cyclones on the water, but backwards. I don't matter what direction, it just makes me want to puke. I don't ride roller coasters for the very same reason. I can go forward, I can't go backward. That's out. But then things rise around, go around in circles like this. I get nauseated watching them. They're just being tossed, and they don't know where they are, and they're in a storm, and they haven't seen the sun, moon, or stars for days. And they haven't eaten a bite. And they're absolutely out of control. And can I say, Paul says, be of good cheer. Paul, I don't even know how to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them, notice what it says, that sail with thee. Paul, you're a prisoner, but you're in charge. I've given all of them to you. That's what it says. That's what your King James Bible says. Now, if you don't have a King James Bible, I don't know what your Bible says, what your book says. My Bible, Paul says, God says, Paul, I've given all of them to sail with thee. I've given all of them to sail with thee. I mean, they're all yours. They're now, wherever you say, now it's going to take place. I want you to understand. He said, Fear not, Paul says, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them to sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, here Paul says, look, this is what God told me. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. He said, hey, we ain't going to make it all the way there, but we are going to make it to safety. God said we're all going to be there. Nobody's going to be lost. Nobody's going to die. It's going to be okay. Listen, in the midst of your lost situation, of your situation where you're out of control, what do? You got to know that God, you got to know that God's paying attention, and you got to know that he loves you without fail, and you got to know that he's watching you every minute, and you got to know he wants us to trust and pray. No. In the midst of my situation, I don't know what to do. What do I do? You trust and you pray. You trust and you pray. I don't have time to talk about what in the rest of the story, what the Bible says, they toss out four anchors. Four anchors, and they didn't make a cross, but they held them still in their place. When I see four of anything, man, I see a cross. It's just me. And they stopped them. And then they got to listen. They go, oh, wait a minute. There's an island close. And the Bible says, in the midst of their out-of-control situation, they got a little bite to eat, feeling a little better about themselves. When I get a little bite to eat, I feel a little better. Amen. Because when you fast for 3 or 4 days, 4 or 5 days, you get that, you get hangry. You're hungry and angry at the same time. And when you get a little bite to eat, it's like, oh, that's nice. They've been fasting for 14 days. They've been tossing and turning for days in this storm. And now they found out. Paul said, God told me you're all going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Aren't you glad when you get to come to church and the preacher says, hey, if you're saved, it's going to be okay. Man, God's good. Hey, we know what's coming. It's all right. God's in control. He's paying attention. He loves us. Paul says, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Can I tell you, in the midst of your storm, you can believe God. In the midst of your storm, you can get to God. No, God wants us to be saved. No, God wants us to obey his word. No, God wants us to God loves us dearly. God is continually watching. He's walking with us and working with us and by our side, and that we must trust him. But God has set you on his determined course for your life. It's not always easy. It's not always a smooth course. The seas are not always calm. Anybody have a boat? Anybody been deep sea fishing? All you crazy people. Dude, if I get past where I can't see land, I'm in panic mode. Because I know, number one, there's something big out here, bigger than me, that can eat me. When I can't see land, number two, even though I'm a little thinner than I used to be, I still can't swim miles and miles and miles to get there. So the chances of me in water, I'm probably going to drown. And I don't want to do that. So you ever go deep sea fishing? Nope. Do you want to go deep sea fishing? Nope. If I can't fish off the shore, God bless you. I want you to understand, they're tossing and turning out in the middle, and there's nobody and nothing. And it's dark. As soon as the storm started, in about verse 8, or what is it? Verse 14. As soon as the storm started, it's been dark this whole time. It's been black and jumping around. And here, I'm done. Listen. Paul, how you feel? Well, I'm out of control. Nothing I can do. Paul, what are you going to do? I'm going to trust God knows everything. I'm going to trust that he loves me. I'm going to trust that he'll keep his word to me. I'm going to trust that he's watching my every move. And I'm going to trust and know that if I talk to him, he'll answer my prayers. And know I must. Listen. And know in the midst of my storm, Paul says, be of good cheer, for I believe God. He just said, in the midst of this, in the midst of being out of control, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to keep believing. Can I just say something? Doc alluded to it, man. He was cranked up this morning in Sunday school. But can I tell you something? Our world's seemingly falling apart. I mean, the infrastructure, the exterior, I mean, everything about America that I have grown up to know and love is seemingly being destroyed, if it hasn't already been destroyed. You say, preacher, is there going to be an end to this? Yeah, the trumpet's going to sound. Fat boy checking out of here. But until that time, sometimes I got to live in the midst of a horrible situation. I wouldn't want your stinking job for nothing in the world. Go to them bunch of devils where you have to go. No, not me, because I'd be in jail. Because I'd have Bible in hand, screaming, hollering, arrest that loudmouth guy and send him out of here. I saw a street preacher up in Boston got beat up, tore his Bible all up, spread it all over the street preacher. All he's trying to do is give him the truth, trying to get people saved. Can I say, we living in a messed up world. And it's messed up everywhere, not just New York, everywhere. Preacher, what do I do? Be of good cheer, for I believe God. It's all going to be okay. He's still paying attention. He's still looking. He still knows everything. He still sees me in the midst of the storm. Thank God Psalm 139 is there. Hey, even the darkness, the clouds, nowhere can I hide from God. I'm good. But in the midst of all of that, listen, what do you do when you're out of control? You trust him. You follow him. You believe him. You obey him. And you just keep doing it. Listen, stay in the book. Stay close to the truth. Stay in your prayer closet. Don't quit reading your Bible. Well, I just don't understand. It's just, stay in your Bible. Bible hasn't changed. Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. God's not changing anything. You're just on a determined course set by him. But preacher, I feel out of control. Sometimes we do. And sometimes we'll do stupid stuff while we're out of control. And it makes it worse because we try to take matters into our hands. And when we take matters into our hands and we do stupid stuff, it's like my GPS. Sometimes I know where I'm going. Stupid GPS. And you know what I do? I don't listen. Sometimes when the Bible's preached and you don't listen, that's stupid. And you'll make a wrong turn somewhere. And God will say, hey, what are you doing over there? I told you. Get back over here. What are you doing? You can't just go about it. I know what's going on. But Lord, I don't feel good. It don't feel right. I'm insecure. I got to do this. And I got to do that. And I got to do this. And I got to do that. Hey, I got this all taken care of. Sit still and follow orders. We're so stupid. Look, I am stupid. I don't like to be given orders. I don't like to be taken. Lord, I don't like this. Tough. But I feel like I'm not in control. You're not. But I want to be in control. And you're not ever going to be in control. You follow orders. Christian, I'm done. What are you going to do? Lord, what do I do now? Trust me, obey me, follow me, read my Bible, pray, go to church, tell people about Jesus, do what you've always done. Don't bail out. Listen to me. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not sure about salvation. Can I tell you something this morning? He loves you. How much does he love me? How much does he love me? He loves you this much. How much is that? This much. He hung on a cross naked before a holy God in a sinful world for you. He loves you. He loves you this much. Do you think a God who loves you this much is willing to sacrifice all that he is for what little you are and I are? What little we are? That's not I are. I are. Well, you know, I'm one of them there, brother. Hallelujah. I are one of these. Do you realize how little we are? And how much he gave. He was the God-man who gave it all. For an undeserving, hateful, disgusted, wicked, vile, puke world. That said, crucify him. How sorry. Man, I'm glad he let me in. But you think a God who loves you this much would stop loving you after the cross? No. He's still paying attention. He still sees. He still knows. He still hears. Matter of fact, he gave you the Holy Ghost of God that's living inside of you. He knows how you feel when you don't know how you feel. Amen. Goes right there. When I don't know how to come to God and how what to tell him I'm going through, all I do is sit on an altar and cry and bawl my eyes out. God said, the Holy Ghost says, here's what he means. And God said, yep, I know. Whew. Can I tell you something? He's good. And I can trust him. Even when my situation is out of my control. It might be over my head, but it's still under his feet. I've got an awful big God. My question to you is this. Do you know him today? Do you know him today? Are you saved? You see, the worst thing in the world is you could let this out of control situation take you all the way to hell because you just say, I ain't going to do that. I'm not going to trust you. I'm not going to believe you. I just don't believe that book is right. I just don't believe that church. I just don't believe. I don't believe. I don't believe. I don't believe. Your choice. But when the consequences of hell. The rich man had his chance. He had Lazarus begging at his door over and over and over for days and weeks and months. I don't know. But the Bible says that Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom and the rich man in hell opened his eyes in hell. He opened his eyes screaming in pain in hell. Consequences of his actions. No reversal. Right now, there's still a chance because you're still breathing. You have a chance. What you going to do with Jesus? That song goes, what will you do with Jesus? Neutral. You cannot be. It's either in gear or you're on your way to hell. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? Christian? Are you going to continue to trust him? Are you going to continue to follow him? Or are you going to rebel? And are you going to, I just don't like this. I guarantee you, Paul was not happy. But in the midst of the storm, he had a relationship with God. He said, the angel of God stood by me. He said, be of good cheer, for I believe God. What are you going to do with Jesus this morning? Christian, what are you going to do with him? Lost person, what are you going to do with him? Go ahead, Doc, play something. What are you going to do with him today? You know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid even as Christians, as Bible-believing Christians, when we get in the storm, we tend to want to take the helm, in our own hands. And instead of saying, you're better at this than I am. I just trust you. I've trusted you this far. I just keep on trusting you. I don't know what's coming, but you do. Christian, where are you this morning? I believe some people in this room this morning probably lost. You don't know Jesus. Can I tell you something? You can this morning. You can this morning. There's people in this room that'll take their Bible and show you privately out of the Bible what God says about how to go to heaven. Don't miss your chance. If you're a lady, there's ladies in this room that'll show you out of the Bible how to go to heaven. My wife will show you out of the Bible. Mrs. Pastor will show you out of the Bible what the Bible says about how to go to heaven. If you're a man, there's Doc Caesar, there's me, there's this preacher, there's men in this room. They'll take their Bible and show you how to go to heaven. Don't miss your opportunity. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heavenly Father, would you please bless this invitation. God, I don't know what you have in mind, but I do know this. There are lost people here this morning. I believe it. I believe there's good saved people here, but I believe there's some lost people here that just need to get saved. They need to stop running, stop living in rebellion, and they need to come to you this morning. The Bible says, for all have sinned. We're all sinners. For all have sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why don't you come get saved this morning? For whosoever, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you quit running today? In a storm? Don't see any way around it? Think, maybe if I can just do this. Can I say it ain't going to happen? Because you can't do this. Only He can. Oh, by the way, they all escaped safe to shore. All 276 of them. Just like God told Paul they would, if they listened.